Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry. I was definitely going to hack some more, but then you just started talking. So here we go, a discussing podcast for the morbidly curious.
A podcast coming from the fucking future. It's 2020 now. Burr, 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 first recording of the year. Mime was Sanjay. I'm sober right now. My name's Sanjay. That wasn't a joke. I just got off of work. Super sober. Sitting next to me is Georgia. Who's, I don't know, maybe sober.
This is my first glass of wine.
Sweet.
Which is depressing since it's 11 o'clock at night.
That's true. We're recording late. It's after hours. Broadcast after dark.
Sexy time.
Yeah. Everyone put on your pajamas and then take them back off. We're in for a real sensual evening.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Probably not, actually.
I mean, we're going to get real intimate with things that happen in your bodies, kind of, so.
We posted about it, but thanks again, everyone, for sticking with us for 20-something episodes, you know.
This is episode 24.
Yeah, 20-something. So, yeah, 2020, 24 episode, 23 episodes. This is the 24th, so we appreciate it. And yeah, remember to tell your babysitter, your grandparents, that weird guy that like tries to sell you bricks, like, you know, just like outside of your house.
Does that happen to you?
Sometimes, yeah. You've never had someone try to sell you bricks?
Nope.
Not of cocaine, but I knew a guy, but yeah, he doesn't do that anymore. He's doing well for himself. Oh no, listeners, I'd like to apologize. I'm currently drinking a White Claw and did not ASMR open it next to the mic. I'm sorry to deprive you of that audio experience.
Luna looks like she's about to jump on our heads, so if you hear a weird noise, that might be what it is.
Yeah. Oh, what are we talking about today?
Oh my god, today we're going to talk about parasites. New year, new you, because you have a parasite that invaded your body and made you different.
Gross.
Your accent? You know the movie Ants?
Yes. Yes, I do. With a Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. That movie's sick.
And Woody Allen does the voice for Z.
I did not know that. Oh. But all right,
well,
cool.
He does, and that's what you sound like today. Hmm. Except you are about to get infected by some parasitic fungus that will ultimately kill you.
Does Woody Allen have parasites? Is that what you're saying?
Nope. I'm just going to talk about ants that get parasitic fungus.
Oh, that's different.
And that was the only thing I could think of.
Sweet. I was going to say, that's...
How exciting is that?
Kind of. I don't know.
What is a parasite, you might ask?
A parasite's something that eats ass, but from the inside.
Sometimes.
That's definitely a...
scientific definition.
Yeah, like the most scientific definition.
A parasite is an organism that lives in endoparasites or on ectoparasites, an organism of another species, the host, and benefits by deriving nutrients at the expense of the host.
Sounds like a mother-in-law, am I right?
Like when she's too old to live by herself.
Yes, so she sucks on your brain stem to gain nutrients and income.
Fun fact, ectoparasites include fleas and head lice and bed bugs. And body lice, which we talked about in episode 21, spreading them Victorian diseases.
Oh, yeah. Nasty.
And even crabs, like, you know, the STI.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, the crustacean, because, you know, idiot. And I just imagine Sebastian, who's, you know, just hanging out, like, clip, like, but also, like, hoovering Ariel's neck.
You just hold on to that for later, because we're going to talk about crabs again.
I don't like that.
But, like, actual ocean crabs. Yeah.
Sweet back end, never mind.
Scabies are also parasitic.
Scabies?
Here's a, yeah.
Scabies?
Scabies.
What is that?
I mean, it's spelled scabies, but it's pronounced scabies, so now I think that you've seen this word before, but you're just an idiot.
I'm, like, not 100%. I think you might be...
It's called scabies.
All right, we're using the magic of the internet. In 2020, I'm using the internet to prove how right I am all the time. Ew. Ew.
It's pronounced scabies, yeah.
This is so gross.
So...
we're not going to share a picture to this, because it's literally making me uncomfortable.
Scabies are caused... oh my god, wait, hold on.
This is so
gross. At this picture that my boyfriend sent me. This makes me uncomfortable.
I just don't... I literally couldn't... Our executive producer, damn it. This picture we can put in the show notes.
it's an ostrich, but instead of a head and a neck, it's a sausage, and then it just says sausage. But it makes me really, like, he texted me that, and I just said, ew.
That made me feel a lot better. Like, honestly, it, like, uncrawled my skin.
Like, he said that picture made you uncomfortable, and I was like, no, no, this picture makes me uncomfortable.
You do not know uncomfort.
I could look at pictures of scabies all day, but that makes me feel disgusting. I could not. Anyway, scabies is caused by mites that burrow into your skin, and they result they make you break out in little rashes, little pimply bumps. And if left untreated, it can lead to bacterial infections, which can result in complications like septicemia, which we've talked about before, and organ failure. And they're spread by skin-to-skin contact. So even if you shake somebody's hand, you could get scabies from them. Have fun with that.
If hugs, I close my eyes hard enough, I can't hear you anymore.
Handshakes, hugs, yeah. Sleeping with someone.
Dude, wait, you're going to get to ticks eventually, right? Or...
We'll talk about ticks a little bit, but not really.
Okay, so one of my coworkers, who will not be named, was saying that he couldn't hear anything out of one ear. Yeah, and I was like, it's not going where you think it is, probably.
I'm picturing a tick in their ear.
No, that'd be whack. Okay. And he was like, yeah, I have like tinnitus because of like this stuff in the ear, yeah, whatever. Then like a week later, he's like, yeah, I still can't hear. He's, I don't know what's going on. I went to the doctor yesterday for this, and, like, his ear is, like, it looked like a scorpion, like, fucking stabbed him at the base of his ear, like, the base of his ear hole, and it, like, swole over the, like, no! entirety of, like, the opening in his ear, like, behind gross. His, this is a Daith piercing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so the entirety of the space behind his Daith was just, like swollen. And he was like, it could just be a zit though. And I was like, motherfucker, that's not a zit. Like, that is a straight up bite. Like, your body is poisoned currently. And he was like, yeah, it's fine. I was like, you can't hear out of an ear.
It's not half fine.
Of the things you use to perceive sound are blocked right now. That's an issue. Like, what?
Going back to our earlier message, a few summers ago I was kayaking with my ex and like some of his friends, and one of them got a tick on the tip of his penis.
I think that's a very common, like, male bonding thing. I mean, I think
that's just like we live in Kansas, so this is probably going to happen to you at some point.
I mean, it happened to me when I was in Kentucky, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the tick yeehawed more.
Gross.
Yeah.
It had a little hat.
Exactly.
Cool. So, there are around 1 million known species on Earth, but it's estimated that there are 8.7 million species that live on the planet. One-third to one-half of those are parasitic.
Dude, that's fucked. Also, so many of those are bugs. Like, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for bugs doing their own thing.
A bug's life.
Yeah, like a bug's life, you know?
Bugs
like
in their life.
Me, a sad boy's life. Like, if I'm outside, I'm like, you go do your thing, you know, go poop, go bite someone, do whatever. But don't invite yourself into my skin.
Oh my God, we're going to talk asking. About this later and it's going to be great. pause. Different parasites have different ways of infecting their hosts. So we have directly transmitted parasites that don't require a vector.
DTPRAV, as it's called in the field.
So, those include things like lice and mites.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get some scabies. Screw flies also are in this category, and we're going to come back to that because I can't wait to talk about those.
I think I know what that is because of That 70s Show, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. Huh. Yeah.
I think they were eradicated in the 70s, so that might make sense.
They're not on the planet Zorgon, so.
Okay. Parasitic castrators is here. We're going to talk about crabs when we talk about parasitic castrators, but they basically destroy their host's ability to reproduce, and they divert the energy that would have gone into reproduction into the growth of the parasite. So when we talk about it's a parasitic barnacle that affects crabs. So we'll come back to that. Sorry, Sebastian.
Sad.
Da, 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 da. Then we have trophically transmitted parasites. They, like, infect one animal, which is then eaten by another animal. You have cats. You know what toxoplasma is, right?
Yeah.
So, like, toxoplasma is trophically transmitted because it infects the mice, and then the cats catch the mice. And we'll talk more about that later, too.
And the mice kill the people. Or the cats kill the people on accident.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, they can.
Worms would also be an example of
with
something.
With a U or an O.
With an O.
Okay.
Like the cat, you know, parasitic worms, the kind you get in gross places.
No, I don't know if you're talking about dragons with no wings.
Oh, no. Nope. <So. laughs> I don't want one of those inside me, that's for sure. Then we have vector-transmitted parasites, which also rely on a third party, which I think toxoplasma is also an example of one of those. Parasitoids like parasitoid wasps or xenomorphs from aliens. Alien or aliens, either way. Those are insects which will, sooner or later, kill their hosts after, you know, they plant little eggs inside of them. Micropredators kind of latch on to their host. They use a vector to get from one host to another. So, like, mosquitoes are a vector for microparasites or micropredators. Leeches. I guess you could argue in a pop culture world that vampires would be micropredators or a vector for micropredators.
Mm-hmm.
Behavior-altering parasites, again, toxoplasma. We'll talk more about those later, too, because the ant one is really cool. Brood parasites. This is kind of interesting, I think. Those are organisms that rely on other species to raise their young. And it's usually seen among birds, insects, and fish where they can, like, sneak their eggs into another animal's nest.
Hmm.
And then that species will raise the parasite baby species with its own while the parasitic parent goes and continues to reproduce. And the energy that it would normally spend raising a young, it's not using that energy, so it has more time to reproduce.
Like a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's on Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fucking bird on Jerry Springer. This guy keeps sneaking his eggs into other girls' nests! He's a piece of shit! I'm tired of it!
I needed my energy for other stuff. I can't raise a kid.
Yeah, so I thought that's an interesting one. Because it's not like you're directly harming another animal or another creature to survive, but you are kind of dicking them over still.
Yeah.
Oh, you only thought you were going to have three kids? Here, I got you another one. Oh, like, oh no, thanks.
Actual kind of related example to that. So, Hopena's youngest cat, the kitten Rocket, was, like, raised by raccoons. So that's, like, kind of maybe similar. I don't know. Like, they literally found him in a dumpster with a mama raccoon and some baby raccoons. And he was just hanging out. The mom was like,
and that's my baby.
Yeah, Rocket was like, what?
I'm just here.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm hungry and wet.
Aww.
Yeah, he's okay.
Speaking of Rocket, I've watched almost every single movie in the MCU in the last 2 weeks.
God damn, dude.
Yeah. I only have, Captain Marvel and both Spider-Mans.
Nice.
To watch.
Those are some really good movies.
I finally watched Endgame last night, so.
Oh, how was that?
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that I really hate most of the movies, but the ones that I do like, I really like. Mm-hmm. So, I really like Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Guardians, which I'd already seen like Guardians anyway. And I'd already seen Ragnarok. But I like Doctor Strange. Mm. Infinity War was good. Endgame was good. But I really hate Iron Man 3. I really hated Civil War.
Civil War was butts.
Yeah, it just pissed me off the whole time.
Aaron Gather Cole.
Just pissed me off the whole time I was watching it. So, whatever.
Oh, shit. So in Endgame, do you know the house that Clint, like Hawkeye, owns? Mm-hmm. My cousin knows that family.
That's cool.
Like, I don't think I've told this story on the podcast before, But so her, like, one of her really good friends was, she was hanging out with them, and they're like, yeah, we just, like, our kitchen has to be repainted again, though. And my cousin was like, oh, why? And she's like, oh, Marvel painted it. And she's like,
what? What?
And he's like, oh, yeah, they used our house for Endgame. And she was like, what?
What?
And she's like, yeah, so at the beginning of the movie, they thought they would only need it for one scene. Yeah. So they filmed that scene in this, like, girl's family's house. And they were, like, filming the movie, and a few days later, like, a few weeks later, they, like, were wrapping up production and wanted to add that second scene where he gets tiny and goes back in time. Mm-hmm. Oh, spoiler alert for Endgame if you haven't seen it, I guess. They had redone the kitchen in that time, so they had to, they were like, hey, if we paint your house back, can we, like, use it again? And they're like, sure, I guess.
Okay.
So, like, Marvel Studios had to repaint this family's house.
Why did they paint it in the first place?
I don't know. And then the cabin that Tony owns, or that Tony lives in when all the shit happens, Hope's sister's fiance went there for his bachelor party a couple weeks ago. So he, his dad, and a bunch of their friends just, like, camped out in Tony Stark's cabin.
That's cool.
Yeah. McDonough, Georgia is a really fucking weird place. It's so strange.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's a suburb of Atlanta, which is where Marvel films everything. So, fun facts.
We also have willing infection, which, you know, when people infect themselves with parasites. I guess if you want to eat some worms to lose weight, and they just, like, chill in your intestines. Yeah. And
like Danny DeVito.
Steal your nutrients.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, some people ingest helminths, which is a type of parasitic worm, when they have really bad cases of celiac disease.
Hmm.
And apparently that's supposed to help their immune system somehow.
Interesting.
I didn't really read the hows and whys about it, and it's still really controversial and still being tested, but
you're letting worms just squiggle around inside you, and that's weird.
No, I'm not a fan. Here's a list of some parasites that are common in the U.S. How
get
about
ready
that?
To get grossed out. Let's go.
There's neurocysticercosis, which is the most frequent preventable cause of epilepsy, and therefore the foodborne parasite of greatest global concern. And that's the thing that makes it so that you have to make sure you cook your pork properly.
Hmm.
So, because if you don't cook your pork properly, you can get epilepsy.
Interesting.
Fun fact.
That's why pigs don't go to raves.
Yep.
Directly related.
Chagas disease, also known as American trypanosomiasis, which is like the kissing bug disease. Mm-hmm. I think some people have heard of that. The bugs get infected by biting infected people or animals, and then they pass it along. And that causes flu-like symptoms and a rash where parasites enter the body, and you apparently your eyelids get swollen. There's this one that I can't pronounce, but it's the worms that you go to the vet and you say, hey, I need to get worm treatment for my cat or dog. Yeah. So that makes sense that that's really common in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Toxoplasmosis, which we as cat people know lots about.
That is cat scratch fever, right?
No.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, fuck.
That's different.
I thought it was the same.
No. Oh. I mean, it might be. I don't think that's true, but you can look it up. Toxoplasmosis reproduces in the intestinal tract of cats, but they can't infect the cats themselves, so they infect the mice. And then they alter the behavior of the mice. They can infect their nervous system. So the behavior of the mouse changes and the mice stop being scared of cats so they don't run away. And research suggests that those brain alterations are permanent because even if the mice pass the infection, they still don't regain normal fear responses to indicators of cats.
That makes sense.
I think they expose them to like cat urine and stuff like that and they don't run away. One third of humans are infected already, but it's only dangerous for newly infected pregnant women or anyone with a compromised immune system. That's why everyone says, oh, if you're pregnant, you can't clean the litter box. Mm-hmm. So you don't infect your baby with something that could really fuck you up. Yeah. Because one study linked the infection to certain human traits like neuroticism, which you could argue explains a lot about me.
Yep.
Some researchers suspect that it might even have links to human mental health, including schizophrenia and brain cancer. So, did you find the answer?
Yeah, so cat scratch fever is lymphoreticulosis, and it's an infection of the lymph nodes following a scratch or bite from a cat.
Yes,
cat scratch disease. Yeah, cat scratch disease is caused by Bartonella hensella bacteria.
What?
Yep.
Well,
whole lot of words that, like, actually just translate to "I was wrong."
I was right.
Yeah.
And then, according to some scientists, a high enough level of parasitic infection of toxoplasma in a society could change the entire culture.
Do you think it would just turn us all into, like, super soldiers? Like, we wouldn't be afraid. We literally would not know fear.
I think it would just make us all crazy people that do what they do in Civil War and just argue all the time.
That's true. And beat the shit out of Tony Stark.
Like, fuck you guys.
That scene, like, actually, oh, just made me so sad. This is not a Marvel podcast. We will not talk about this right now.
Here's some others that I just think are super cool. Like, tongue-biting isopods. They swim into the mouths of fish through their gills, then eat the host's tongue, and then live in the mouth of the fish where its tongue was, and it acts as a tongue, but it also absorbs a good amount of nutrients as the fish eats.
I guess fish, like, don't have doctors, so they can't just be like, can you imagine swimming? Then you're like, oh, fuck, my mouth, ah, my mouth. Oh, my mouth doesn't hurt anymore. That's weird. And then there's just, like, a
Why isn't my tongue just doing whatever it wants to?
Yeah. Like, imagine, like, you're, like, opening your cabinet and you pour some cereal, go to the fridge, get some milk, get a nice spoonful, open your mouth, and you're like, hey, Craig. And then your tongue is like, what's up? And just, like, scoops, like, I don't...
Your tongue leaves your mouth and jumps into the spoon and just goes,
Yeah, and then, like, jumps back in your mouth. And you're like, rinsed you on the first, and your tongue's like, I'm a fucking tongue. That's it.
These don't affect humans, you'll be glad to know. I'm gonna drink my wine now.
I'm glad it doesn't affect humans. That's one less thing for me to be afraid of. The list is long.
Alright, here we go. Screw worms. Screw worms are a parasitic insect, also known as the New World screw worm fly, or just screw flies. The females lay eggs in the exposed living flesh of warm-blooded animals. So, you know, a fresh wound, sometimes even in the belly buttons of babies, because that's technically like an open wound, you know, once it gets cut. The larvae hatch and feed on the surrounding tissue, and as they eat around themselves, they get deeper and deeper. And if the wound is disturbed, like if you were to itch it or, like, something, they burrow deeper or screw deeper into the flesh. They're capable of causing severe tissue damage, even death, but they were officially eradicated in 1982.
Oh, nice.
Using the sterile insect technique. They're still a problem in a lot of places in Central America, but eradication has been completed in, like, half the countries, and then the other half are in the process of eradication. So that's when, like, the sterile insect technique is when sterile insects, usually males, are released into the wild, and then the females mate with the sterile males, and then no offspring is produced. So the next generation is, because their life cycle is only like 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're...
Mine too.
So then their next generation is less... The population is less, and then it just kind of decreases. And they do that a few times. And the population can be eradicated without introducing non-native species into an ecosystem.
Yeah, you don't
need... Which is where we get a lot of problems in the first place.
Yeah, you can't just... The little old lady that swallowed a fly your problems away, you know? Like, that shit doesn't make sense. It, like, works most, I guess, a lot of the time, but then you just have other issues.
There's actually a really crazy short story called The Screwfly Solution. It was written in the 70s by Alice Sheldon. And it's about what seems like a sexually selective epidemic that causes men to have increasingly violent urges that result in the murder of women.
Okay.
And there's kind of this religious cult that grows with it, and they call themselves the Sons of Adam, and they're all infected men who start saying that women are evil, you know, they're the one that took a bite from the apple and they ruined everything in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So once, if they also killed children too, if they're like running out of women, they just have to kill things.
Yeah, I mean, murder is a thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
And areas where all women or uninfected people have fled or been killed, they call those purified zones.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately ends up being about aliens. I think the aliens kind of send the epidemic to the planet to clear it for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, eh, we'll just let them all kill themselves. We'll help with that part. But mm-hmm. we don't actually have to get our hands dirty because we didn't actually kill any of them.
Yeah. We'll keep playing Smash Bros.
Yeah. But it makes some really intense statements about the political culture of the time, which unfortunately is still really relevant mm-hmm. today. Especially under our
mm-hmm.
most recent president.
USA. USA.
Leucocloridium paradoxum.
I heard chlamydia.
No, we're not talking about STDs yet.
Okay. I don't... Stop. I keep making jokes and you keep saying yet. And
no.
then like 10 minutes
it's
later...
because I skipped one.
Okay.
Of the most common disease... the most common parasites in the U.S. Trichomoniasis. The STD.
What? Like, it's just like the S, like all STDs are like...
It's a super common STD and most people don't know that they have it.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. It's one of those. If you have sex, you will get pregnant and die.
Yep.
Alright, anyway. Leucocloridium paradoxum. Here's what Nat Geo says about this. I couldn't really say it any better myself, so I'm just going to read what Nat Geo says.
I trust Nat Geo.
Snails infected with the endoparasitic worm Leucocloridium paradoxum go through a pretty horrifying physical transformation in addition to being driven to what looks like suicidal behavior. The chain of events goes thusly. A snail eats bird droppings infected with the worm's eggs, which usually become sporocytes or sac-like structures that move up into the snail's eye stalks. I really like snails, by the way. I think they're adorable. The normal eye stalks become plump, pulsating, striped cones, and the zombified snail, which normally prefers the shade, climbs up into the sunlight where birds see its hideous, throbbing eye stalks and think that they are delicious larvae. The bird eats the snail, and then the parasite enters the bird's digestive tract, where it develops into adulthood. The parasite releases eggs in the bird's rectum. That's its butthole. And the eggs are then excreted and ingested by other snails. The social anthropologist, Marika... The social anthropologist, whose name I can't pronounce, argues that Hollywood science fiction favors insects as villain characters because of their parasitism and their swarming behavior. Such films, she continues, depict the war of culture and nature as an unending combat between humanity and insect-like extraterrestrial species that tend to parasitize human beings in order to reproduce. I thought that was an interesting little way to end that.
There's no part of that I liked. Like, I was trying act. You said bird once. That was cool.
Yeah.
Just, like, take away the rest of it. Just bird. That was nice.
Bird's pooper. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I just thought it was interesting that she has kind of analyzed how sci-fi villains are always insect-y-like.
I mean, more so than anything else, really. Like, you get some lizard-like ones, you get some...
Yeah. I also would argue that part of that might be because of how successful insects are at surviving.
Yeah, like, they're pretty close to, like, not to be all...
Like cockroaches are super indestructible.
Yeah. And I know you said we're gonna talk about ants later, but ants are, like... they are, like, the best soldiers, like, ever.
Yeah.
Because of, like, how communicative
we're going to talk about ants right now, if you want to.
Ooh. I guess, yeah.
Parasitic mind-controlling fungi infects ants through spores attaching to the exoskeleton and then penetrating it slowly, influencing the ant's behavior. So it, like, releases biological compound that affects the nervous system of the ant, and that tells the ant to go leave its nest and find a microclimate that's more conducive to the fungi's reproductive needs.
No, they're just like, do crime. How about drugs? go rob that guy.
Go sell some spores.
Exactly.
So the ant just kind of, it finds the little spot where the fungus wants to grow, and then the ant just hangs out there till it dies. It doesn't do anything to keep itself alive. It just hangs out there. And then the fungus feeds on its innards, and then after a few days, the fungus sends up a fruiting body, which erupts from the ant's head. Okay. And then that releases more spores to infect more ants.
Okay.
There's another one that affects flies, and that causes them to basically glue themselves to the mouth of a plant. It's called the death pose, where they kind of lay on their back with their legs in there, like a turtle, you know? And it infects their abdomen, and so they lay on their back so that the spores can erupt from their abdominal region.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's not cool. You ever, like, eat a big burrito? And then you're like, whoa. And then it rips out of your stomach. Yeah. It's terrible.
And that's like my little overview of parasites. I tried looking up examples of parasites in pop culture. Because, you know, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I saw, because I bring this up almost every episode, but someone said that Imhotep from The Mummy is technically a parasite.
Explain.
Because he absorbs the life energy and, you know, flesh and everything from the four guys who took the canopic jars, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He, like, sucks all of them dry to regain his own body.
But he doesn't need to continually do it. So, like, is he actually a parasite? Well, I mean,
not all parasites need to continually do it. They just kill you once they get what they need, so.
Yeah, I guess.
My argument for Imhotep is still that he is the best corpse in pop culture. Buried alive. That was what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not a mummy. They didn't mummify him. No. They just buried him alive.
Yep.
Metroid from, you know, the jellyfish things in Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Sublime from X-Men. Mm. I don't really know much about X-Men, but that was on the list.
I know a lot about X-Men and have no idea who Sublime is.
Obviously, one of the B-rated ones.
Yeah, apparently C-rated. I love B-rated X-Men heroes. Like, let me tell you.
See, when I were just talking about that, I think it was last night, because, oh, it was when Bruce is in the Hulkbuster suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he looks like Juggernaut. And Sue just goes, you know who Juggernaut is and what he looks like?
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, kind of.
He's Charles Xavier's brother. He's important.
But I've also, the only X-Men movies I've really seen are like the Wolverine origin ones. Oh, hi. You look evil right now.
Dude, Juggernaut has my favorite line in the X-Men franchise, and it's from X3, The Last Stand.
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde, like Shadowcat, is like fighting Juggernaut, and they run into a building, and he can't find her, and she like comes up from the floor, grabs him, and then like pulls him into the floor, and he says, "You think this can stop me? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!" And then tears out of the floor and like just starts charging at her, and boy howdy, 8-year-old me and 25-year-old me still think that's the coolest shit. I love Kitty Pryde, but that scene is just like so fucking cool. He's so strong, and he's I don't know, man, he's unstoppable. A Juggernaut is literally an unstoppable force. Like, that's sick. I love the X-Men. Welcome to Broadcast from the X-Men, an X-Men podcast.
We talked a lot about comics this episode. It's a new thing for me. I also just want to point out that she did the exact same thing and climbed over both of us to get to her food. Because she's a chubby girl. Dream Crabs from the Doctor Who Christmas special. Gross.
Dreams.
Venom from Spider-Man. It was brought up that he was a parasite.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Xenomorphs, like I said earlier, an alien. Apparently, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote a story called The Parasite, which was less mind-controlly, and apparently they used mesmerism in it, because that was really big at the time. Like, Poe has a short story about mesmerism, too, which is really kind of cool-ish, but also stupid, but still kind of cool. It's about this guy who gets stuck in this, the last moment of life before death. So...
Like Groundhog Day?
Not really. The main character is called in to do this experiment, and the guy's like, I want you, the moment that you think I'm gonna die, I want you to mesmerize me.
Mm-hmm.
Which in this case is basically like hypnotism.
Yeah.
So he does that, and the guy seemingly decomposes really slowly, but he still kind of seems alive. Like, he's taking a really long time to have this last breath. Yeah. And then, like, I can't remember what happens in the end, but basically all of a sudden he just turns into a puddle of sludge. And he makes a weird noise. It's very Poe-ish.
I'm not going to try to, even, like, make that sound.
Dracula. People say Dracula is a parasitic host because...
Dracula. Dracula don't bite. That's a myth. Dracula scrape and lick. Scrape, lick. La 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 la.
Oh, God.
I guess he kind of is.
Well,
yeah.
I think in the beginning of the story, also, I just started watching the new Dracula series on Netflix, which is by Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat. So,
what?
Yeah, the two of them wrote, and it's very like Sherlock, and it's, it's a 3-episode season, but they're an hour and a half long. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to get another season of Sherlock, so I guess I'll start watching this.
So, yeah, it's kind of their adaptation of Dracula, and they kind of change up the setting a little bit. Like, excuse me, it starts off in a nunnery, I think, or like a hospital that is run by nuns, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they find Jonathan Harker, and they change his story up a little bit. But I can see why you could argue that he is a parasitic host, because he welcomes Harker into his castle and, you know, makes him, like, kind of takes him prisoner, but yet still feeds him and makes him feel like he's super welcome, even though he's not allowed to leave. And all the while, he's literally draining Jonathan Harker's life force.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of iterations of vampires. This is just Vampire Cast Part 2 now. Where they will have, like, a... For lack of a better term, a farm of bodies, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just a bunch of people that they're, hosting... That they're keeping alive and well so they can feed. So, it's like...
Or even not necessarily alive and well. Like, I mean, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is stupid, but also it's a cult classic. So, love Joss Whedon. But there are instances in that show where it's kind of like the vampires keep their victims kind of like in those crack houses. What?
I don't know.
And they just look all strung out, but it's just because they've just been drained of all their blood and energy. And I don't know. I haven't watched that show in a long time.
I've actually never seen it. That is the only Joss Whedon show I haven't seen.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I guess that and Angel probably also counts.
That show doesn't count. We stayed mostly on topic.
Yeah. I have two parasites.
Go for it.
First one, forgot. Second one. Is Migi from the anime the animation from Japan Parasite the Maxim.
I think that was on the list, but I didn't know what it was, so I didn't write it down.
Dude, you would actually love it. So the basic premise, there's an alien why can I not remember the other one I was thinking of? There's an alien species that it's like rains down one night, and they're like sludges, and they are supposed to like infest humans, pretty much eat their brains, and then like take over the bodies and use humans as hosts. And they
Seems
like
legit.
Yeah, but this one, the guy is listening to music when he falls asleep. So when the alien sucks into his hand, the guy freaks out and like starts thrashing, and his headphones cut off circulation in his hand. So the alien just takes over his left hand. Miggy.
Hey. Oh my god. I told you she was gonna jump on the sound booth.
You were right.
Can I pick her up, or is she gonna freak
out? Yeah, you can pick her up.
Wild. Miggy is left in Japanese, so he takes over his left hand, and he can't...
Wait, I feel like I've heard of this before.
Yeah, it's very, very good. It's very dark. There's a lot of murder and shit in it. No. You would really like it.
Does he have, like, a murderous hand, essentially?
Yeah, so they can also shapeshift, like, kind of, like, it's not, like, quite... They can, like, rearrange, like, the bones and stuff, and they can, like, harden skin and muscle. So he turns, like, Miggy can turn into, like, a knife hand, pretty much.
Oh, and, that's cool.
Yeah, and the other, the full parasites can, turn both of their hands into giant, like, scythes and stuff.
Sweet.
And it's like, really sick. What was the other one?
Sebastian.
No. Wonder to see. Bahadur Mar. If you haven't listened to the Spanish version of Under the Sea, please do. It's so funny. Because it's a Spanish guy with a Jamaican accent singing a song that was based for English. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I can't remember the other one. Well, still, that though. Parasite the Maxim. Very good anime. Would recommend. Has a parasite. Has parasite in the name. Yep. So you know it's good. You love to see it. I got nothing else.
I think there was technically a Marvel comic one, too, but it sounded really stupid, so I didn't write it. Like, it sounded even stupider than Sublime from X-Men, so I didn't write it down.
I've got nothing. I cannot remember. This is why I should take notes sometimes. Would help. Here we are, though.
You could have written down one word.
Yeah, literally one word would have been enough. And I can only remember Parasite because it has a bomb intro. If you have a thing about a parasite, or maybe remember what the fuck I was trying to remember, feel free to leave us a communication. You can contact us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching Broadcast for the Belfry. You can also send us an email, which Georgia reads and I don't because she's old, at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com. If you
get really excited about it,
she does. It's like when Steve in Blue's Clues, like, you just got a letter.
She I thought you were talking about Stu, and I was like, that's not his name. Yeah, Stu. You've known him longer than me. Why do you not know this?
It's Steve from Blue's Clues or Stu from Blue Clue. Like, those are the two. There's nothing else. It's one or the other. You can also leave us a like or subscribe anywhere that you listen to podcasts, as long as it's not iTunes, apparently. And you can do that by searching Broadcast from the Belfry in the search bar as well. We love you guys. It's 2020, and we're going to do at least 20 podcasts this year. Pretty low bar.
Yeah, we
I can't let you
we
down.
We had 20 episodes
in like a few months.
Half a year.
Yeah.
Less than half a year.
Wild. Oh, yeah, that was in the summer. Georgia, what do you have any other last comments or anything?
No.
All right. Then what do you say to the kind people?
Thanks for listening and stay spooky.
2020 sluts.
2020.